Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, after the last year we've had, that's a blessing to be able to celebrate life and be excited about it, that's for sure. So, our sermon text for this third Sunday of Pentecost is going to be taken from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, we're going to just choose a small part of that, would be going for Mark 4. We're going to read verses 35 through 41. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Lately, I've been reading from the other books, so you've gotten to be able to sit down, but today we're going to stand in honor of the word. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, reading in Jesus' name. On that day, when evening had come, he said unto them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that it was already being filled. But he was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and they said one to another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be here today, Father. What a blessing to not live in fear, but to live in strength of Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit. Father, we praise and we thank you for your Spirit, that you continue to allow it to abide with us, to encourage us. Father, we know there's many storms in life, but we know that we also look to you. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in your word. We know your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So how are you? Good. I like that. Good. You know, so many times we like to put on our game face, right? We come through those doors and please don't stop. I like you coming through those doors. But sometimes when we come through those doors, we just think, well, everything's hunky-dory, everything's good. We pretend to everybody. Then we go home and we kind of face the reality and it's like, wow, there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of difficulty. And really what this brings about in my mind is that just as when we are in the presence of God, we feel the power, we feel the strength of the body of Christ, we feel the encouragement. There's no doubt about that. We're engrossed in the word, we hear the singing, we watch a baptism. Even if our ideas on baptism vary, we still at least acknowledge the understanding of Christ Jesus being present. And so this is just really an exciting time. But then when we leave here, we can have a tendency to start thinking about Monday morning. We can start thinking about the rising costs of everything, and we got to get that job done. We got to start realizing that we don't have enough people to work our shifts, and then we start wondering, what are we going to do? We start chasing around all these other issues. And those are the storms that come up in our life. Or as Brother Mark even opened with, he talked about the fact of the people that we're praying for. And there's a lot of difficulty, and there's a lot of struggle in people's lives. And so sometimes we can unplug for a moment and we can plug into the Lord and we can spend an hour around his word, but then we kind of wake up to reality as we see it when we're done. But the reality that we see often is skewed. It's skewed by our humanness. It's skewed by my lack of faith. It's skewed by my worry. I don't need to look to you guys. I can see it in my own life. I mean, I got issues, people. You just don't know it. You know, we got confirmation camp going on this week, and I'm like one of the only counselors because it's only our group, and I got to figure out how to stay in a building with a bunch of guys, and I'm not good at that stuff. That's just not me. Exactly, right? Those are my issues, and they're very trivial, aren't they? And if we could be honest, we have a saying. We used to say it a lot in the seminary. We have a lot of first world problems. Because they bring us out of our comfort zones. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a lot of first world problems. We live in one of the greatest nations on earth. We have freedoms that we often don't even enjoy. And we turn around and we look at things in our lives and we act like it's a big storm waiting to pound us. And I'm not trying to pretend that issues aren't real, because when you're living an issue, when you're going through an issue, it is real. You're living it. But we need to stop and look beyond the issue. These guys did the exact right thing. They kind of handled it in a human term, human ways. So we're going to look at that. But this text picks up after Jesus had some very powerful testimonies and some powerful preaching that went on. The crowds were getting so big.
How big were they?
No, the crowds were getting so big that Jesus had to build himself an amphitheater. And so he jumped in a boat and he went off ashore and the people were on the beach. And I've told you this before. I've been out at Lefty enough times that I remember one time I was working down by Jacob and there was a couple people that were kayaking past. And they were quite a ways out there. And I could hear every word that they were saying. And they said, "Oh, there's a guy up there on that building." And I said, "Yes, there is." And they couldn't believe I heard them. But Jesus is brilliant. He knew that now this is actually like an amphitheater. When he's out on the water, the people on the shore could actually hear a lot better. So he did this. The crowds were that big. And he's teaching them. And he's teaching them in parables. He's teaching them in descriptive stories so that they could understand exactly what he's speaking about. And he gives them the parable of the sower. So it's kind of interesting because now he talks about the understanding of God is the one to give this increase. That we are to go out and to spread the seed and not try to decide where to spread it and how to spread it, but rather we are to go out and spread it. So therefore, now he's talking about the power of God operating. And then he turns around after saying that God is the one to give that great increase, God is the one to be the provision for the seed to grow. He says, "You guys, each and every one of you, you're like a light. You're like a light. You're to share that goodness of God. You're to share his powerful workings in the kingdom." And then he makes a very common sense thing. When you light a candle, you don't put it under a bushel. You don't put a basket over it. Imagine that. We take a basket now and we put it on these babies. Either the basket would burn up or those would go out. But the fact of it, he says, you guys are a light to this world. Live as a light. And so they're kind of blown away the way he talks, and they're trying to figure out his parables. See, and I think that's very positive. It's very positive that they want to know what he's speaking about. So then, after a lot of teaching, and he's probably getting tired because he has surrendered his right, and he is fully human, there's no doubt about it, fully God, fully human, hard for us to comprehend at times. But he says, "Let's go to the other side." But there's a teaching moment in here. Let's go to the other side. Sometimes in life, we need to just pull away. We need to take a moment. Now, there's too many of us that want to pull away forever. Well, that's not the answer either. And as we would see if we continued to read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, Jesus can't pull away hardly at all, because as soon as he gets to the other side, the people saw where he was going and they chased all the way around and they actually filled the other side of the beach. They desired to be with him. They desired for his strength, for his encouragement. And it's not a prosperity thing. It's we need to be encouraged. See, if anything we've learned in the last year, we should have learned that we need encouragement. We need to be strengthened. We need to understand and know, and we need to be encouraged that God loves us and he desires for us to have safety and security. He desires for us to find comfort. And he also desires for us to have priorities. What is truly important in life? The one thing the last year has taught me is family is important. Family is important. And family extends beyond just bloodlines. I have family in this congregation. I have family throughout this world, and I'm sure you do too. So they need this encouragement. They desired to have what Christ offers. But now when they're going across, and this is where it really gets interesting, when they're going across the lake, right? They are leaving the crowds, and they're going by boat. And these other boats are going with them, so there's this kind of caravan that's going across there. Jesus takes a nap. Not very exciting, is it? Where's the hoopla in this? Here you have the creator of the world. Gospel of John chapter 1 says he was there from the very beginning. All things were created with and through him. And he's taking a nap. And so now the disciples, they're all with him, and they're kind of going along in this boat, and they're trying to go through this process. But then it comes down to the fact of there comes a storm. When you think that everything is going to go smoothly, everything is sailing along just right, what ends up happening? There ends up being some storms in life. And so there becomes a storm that kind of causes the boat to start to have a problem. We may not think it's a problem because we're not really out in the water right now, but the boat is starting to fill with water. I am not a great swimmer. If I was out there with a couple of my buddies and, you know, they're good swimmers, they'd probably be like, whatever, we can just swim. Me, I'd be like, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble here. Somebody's going to die, you know. But the point being is they start to see what is taking place here, and it starts to panic in them. They start seeing issues building up. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Well, you're turning around, you're living your life, you think things are going to go well, you're kind of cruising along even with God, things look great, and then there comes this storm. There comes this, it might start out small waves, start lapping the boat's going up and down, you maybe get a little bit nauseous, whatever, but then all of a sudden it starts to increase. And you think, well, as long as they're medium, I can handle this, I can go through this. But then they start to come over the bow of the ship. And it starts filling the boat, and the eyes start bugging out because what are we going to do? But what's one of the first things that these guys have a tendency to do? When they see the issue arising, when it starts to get to be very intense, they actually kind of turn defensive. You might think I'm crazy, but what do they say? It says, now, the storm, a great storm arose. The waves started breaking over the boat. The boat was already starting to fill with water. And it says, but Jesus, he was asleep on a cushion. He wasn't breaking a sweat. He was sleeping. How many times do we think people around us are sleeping? How many times do we think, where is God in these moments? Is he even paying attention? But I love how this states this, because they actually had to wake him up. See, he was calm. The one who has created everything out of nothing had nothing to fear. And he was calm. They were in the panic mode. But I'm not saying they did the wrong thing, because this is what we should do. We should turn to God in the times of our storms of our life. We should turn to God when we start to panic. But maybe just for a moment, we could think about some of the words we say and say, do we really need to blame him? Do we have to act as Jesse often does, childish, and say, do you even care? We do it with our own personal relationships. You may not do it. You might be a lot better husband than I am. But if I feel like I'm being neglected in a certain way, I don't generally go up to my wife and, you know, with a very highly sophisticated conversation, bring in my whole mental capacity and what's going on in my brain. I usually say to her, you don't even care. Now, what's the probabilities of my wife truly not caring? Probably zero. That woman has stuck with me through thick and thin, and you can replace my wife in your life with your wife or your husband. But sometimes we come across in a way of saying, do you even care? Yes, they care. But that is our defense mechanism. When we feel insecure, we turn around and we try to blame somebody else. We try to fix a situation or whatever. And how many times have we done that? But they wake them up and they say, teacher, master, do you not care that we're perishing? Does God care? Does God care about the craziness of the last year? Does God care about the craziness of last week? Does God care about the health issues in my life? Does God care about my financial situation? Does God care about, you know, Alzheimer's creeping into our family? Does God care? Does he? Yes. He cares immensely. And in this conversation that we're having right here with these disciples, what is the ultimate proof that he cares? And I'm just saying this as a superficial thing, maybe. I don't know. I can't wander away too much because then they can't hear me and I keep wandering that way. I want Mark's job so bad I keep going that way. What is the proof? He's in the boat with them. He is going through it with them. He hasn't abandoned them. There's another time that a storm rises up when these men are in a boat. We need to open our minds. We need to open our scriptures. We need to open our hearts and say, God, do you care? Of course you care. Because when there's a storm, when there's an issue, he comes in the midst of it. And in this situation, in this story that we're speaking of, this account of what took place, he is in the boat with them. He's in the thick of it. Just because he's not panicking doesn't mean he doesn't care. He didn't just wander off and say, you're left to your own. But that does bring in the other account of another storm, doesn't it? There's another time when Jesus is teaching the people. He's teaching them deeply, and he's kind of just, the crowds once again are growing so big, he needs a moment. He needs some time. So what does he say? He tells the disciples, get in the boat and go on the other side. I'm going to go pray. And he goes into a mountaintop and he prays and he's communing with his Father. And the disciples are out in a boat. And they're out there and a storm starts to arise. And they start to panic because it's scary when things happen. It's scary when storms arise. So now in this situation we could say, see, where is he? He's left us alone. But has he? Because it says in the middle of the night, in the middle of that storm, when those disciples are panicking, Jesus comes walking out on the water. He not only is not in the boat with them, he's walking through the storm to them. God knows our situation. God knows what's going on in our life. God knows every step. God knows. And he's not left us alone. We may sometimes walk and think, well, we are alone, but it doesn't make it so. So in that situation, he comes walking across the water, and what do the disciples do? They start to panic again. We're seeing a ghost. Because people don't walk on water. Our logic comes in. God has to operate according to what I think. That's what we often think. Remember when Pastor Jay said, boy, isn't it amazing when God thinks just like you, that you become God? But anyway, he comes walking across the water. They're panicking. And he says, don't be afraid. It's me. The storm didn't go away. But he came. God knows every step that we are going through. God knows every step that your boy is going to take. And he's going to watch over him, protect him, guide him, lead him. But do we hear him? Do we listen? Do we seek from his word, even when we're going through the storms, to see God has always been there? Do we look back in our life, even as Ephesians says, that hope works experience works hope, however it says it. But the point is that there are times in our life where we will go through and God will continue to reveal himself to us, to grow us through these situations. This is just amazing stuff. Maybe it's too simple, but it's amazing. And when Peter sees him in that second scenario, he sees him out on that water. I love Peter's heart because he turns around and he says, if it's you, we take that as a challenge. But in the Greek, it more or less says, seeing it's you. So he speaks in confirmation. Seeing it's you out there, let me come. Did Jesus say, Peter, you're too goofy. You can't do this. Peter, you're not wearing the right shoes. He says, come. He tells them to come. Because when we are focused in Christ, we can go through the turmoils of our life. We can face cancer. We can face Alzheimer's. We can face financial devastation. We can face viruses. We can face everything. But when do we become afraid? Peter got out of that boat. See, everyone says that Jesus is the only one to walk on water. No, that's not true. In the scripture, Peter walks on water. He says, come. Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water, and he started walking towards Jesus. When did Peter have a problem? When he took his eyes off Christ. He started looking towards his financial situation. He started looking towards the cancers in his body. He started looking towards the depravity of the mind when it starts to do what it does going through a process. All of it serious, all of it sad, all of it difficult. But we're still going to go through it. But do we go through it alone? That's the question. Peter was in the storm. Peter was walking on the water. And he was fine until he took his eyes off Christ. And he screams, and I love this even in that story. Save me. And what does the Gospel of Mark say even in that situation? It says, immediately Jesus reached out and lifted him up. Because that's our God. Jesse would be saying, you bonehead, what'd you do that for? Why'd you take your eyes off me? What's wrong with you? But immediately, that is our God. If we would but cry out to him, if we would but ask of him, he receives. Do you even care? Do you even care that we are perishing? Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's all be human for a moment. Have we ever asked that question of God? I have. And the answer is yes. I do care. I care so much that the human race is perishing that I sent my only begotten Son into this world to take the debt of the race, to pay it in full. Brothers and sisters in Christ, because of this great work, we are redeemed. We are doing the impossible. We are walking on water. We are living people amongst a dead world. God cares. God loves. And God gives. Yes, he cares. He woke up, and what's the first thing he does? He didn't chastise them. They had a concern. They had a need. He took care of it. He took care of it. He rebuked the wind. This shows fully God. Beautiful, another example of Trinity here. But anyways, he says, peace and be still. They've seen him heal the withered hand. They've seen him bring sight to the blind. They've seen him create something out of nothing when it comes to food, feeding the thousands. They've seen all kinds of examples. But now, even as they call it, Mother Earth listens to him, the Creator. The Creator. Be at peace. Be still. And it says, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. A great calm. He asks a question after this, but then he gives an answer. We don't see it this way all the time. Then he turns and he looks at them, doesn't beat them up. He more or less, I feel, brings out an issue. And this is the issue of why he needs to go to the cross. See, I think all of these instances, every single act that we see all the way up to the crucifixion of Christ is another confirmation that he must go to the cross because Jesse can't do it. Fred can't do it. Ernie can't do it. Whatever somebody's name may can't do it. Every one of these instances of what we see as a lack of faith is another reason he needs to go to the cross, because we, as fallen human beings, we cannot achieve it on our own. And yet he's willing to do it. That's how I look at a lot of these circumstances. So he turns around and he says, "Why were you so afraid?" They were with him. They've seen him do miracles that nobody's been able to do. "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And ultimately, the answer is yes. I'm a fallen human being. Left to my own devices, I have no ability. I'm unworthy, I'm unclean, especially at this point. Because sin still permeates and is not a balm. So Christ knows he must go to the cross. He must give the balm. He gives the healing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are so much more, if we could say, blessed. It's a tough word because they're blessed too. But we have the balm. We have the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on our side. We have, by grace through faith, the ability to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is what instills faith. It's not my ability. It's not my strength. It's not what I can do. And this is why, when we look out into the world, we become so afraid. We take our eyes off of what God has given us. We take our eyes off of that gift of the Holy Spirit, and we live more in fear of death than we do life. We are of all people most blessed. I am thankful for every single day that God blesses me upon this earth, but I know he is the author. He is the finisher. He is the one that has every single day numbered for each and every one of us. If we are afraid to die, you know the statement, we will never live. I don't want to raise my children afraid to die. I want to raise my children and my grandchildren, whom I love to the end of the world, to live. To live fully in Christ Jesus. There is not a balm this world can offer. There's not a balm our government can offer. There's not a balm that I can create. There's not something I can work for. We are given the precious atoning work of Christ Jesus and the power of his Holy Spirit to abide with us each and every day until we take our final breath upon this earth. And then that, for us, even as Paul says, is victory. Is victory. It is not morbid. It is a blessing. When the storm comes, look to Christ. When disease, financial, mental, spiritual, comes, look to Christ. For he is our victory. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word.